were 50 cases to choose from, and 40 had to be condemned to death. Some of the 40 had young wives and helpless children. If the hardness of their cases could have saved them, they would have been saved 10 times over. I've no doubt your case is a hard one. I can see the tears in your eyes. I know that you have a torrent of entreaties ready for me the moment I stop speaking, but it's no use. You must go to another doctor.
But can you give me the name of another doctor who understands your secret?
I have no secret. I'm not a quack.
I beg your pardon. I didn't mean to say anything wrong. I don't understand how to speak to you. Oh, pray, don't be offended.
There, never mind. After all, I'm talking nonsense. I dare say I am a quack. A quack with a qualification. But my discovery is not patented.
Then can any doctor cure my husband? Oh, why don't they do it? I have tried so many. I have spent so much. If only you would give me the name of another doctor.
Every man in this street is a doctor. But outside myself and the handful of men I am training at St. Anne's, there is nobody as yet who has mastered the Opsonin treatment. And we are full up. I'm sorry, but that is all I can say. Good morning.
Mrs. Dubedat suddenly and desperately takes drawings from her portfolio.
Doctor, look at these. You understand drawings. You have good ones in your waiting room. Look at these. They are his work.
It's no use my looking.
He looks all the same.
Oh, no.
Ridgen takes a drawing to the window and studies it.
Yes, this is the real thing. Yes. Yes.
He looks at another and returns to her.
These are very clever. They're unfinished, aren't they?
He gets tired so soon. But you see, don't you, what a genius he is? You see that he is worth saving. Oh, doctor, I married him just to help him to begin. I had money enough to tide him over the hard years at the beginning, to enable him to follow his inspiration until his genius was recognized. And I was useful to him as a model. His drawings of me sold quite quickly.
Have you got one?
Only this one. It was the first.
Mrs. Dubedat produces another drawing. Ridgen devours it with his eyes.
That's a wonderful drawing. Why is it called Jennifer?
My name is Jennifer.
A strange name.
Not in Cornwall. I'm Cornish. It's only what you call Guinevere.
Guinevere. Jennifer. Yes, it's really a wonderful drawing. Excuse me, but may I ask, is it for sale? I'll buy it.
Oh, take it. It's my own. He gave it to me. Take it. Take them all. Take everything. Ask anything but save him. You can. You will. You must.
Redpenny enters with every sign of alarm.
They've just telephoned from the hospital that you're to come instantly. A patient on the point of death. The carriage is waiting.
Oh, nonsense. Get out. What do you mean by interrupting me like this?
But...
Chut! Can't you see I'm engaged? Be off.
Redpenny, bewildered, vanishes. Jennifer rises.
Doctor, one instant only before you go.
Oh, sit down. It's nothing.
But the patient! He said he was dying.
No, he's dead by this time. Never mind. Sit down.
Mrs. Dubedat sits down and then breaks down.
Oh, none of you care. You see people die every day.
Ridgen pets her.
Nonsense. It's nothing. I told him to come in and say that. I thought I should want to get rid of you.
Oh!
Don't look so bewildered. There's nobody dying.
My husband is.
Ah, yes. I had forgotten your husband. Mrs. Dubedat, you are asking me to do a very serious thing.
I am asking you to save the life of a great man.
You are asking me to kill another man for his sake. For as surely as I undertake another case, I shall have to hand back one of the old ones to the ordinary treatment. Well, I don't shrink from that. I've had to do it before. I will do it again if you can convince me that his life is more important than the worst life I am now saving. But you must convince me first.
He made those drawings, and they are not the best. Nothing like the best. Only I did not bring the really best. So few people like them. He is 23. His whole life is before him. Won't you let me bring him to you? Won't you speak to him? Won't you see for yourself?
Is he well enough to come to a dinner at the Star and Garter at Richmond?
Oh, yes. Why?
I'll tell you. I'm inviting all my old friends to a dinner to celebrate my knighthood. You've seen about it in the papers, haven't you?
Yes, oh yes. That was how I found out about you.
It will be a doctor's dinner, and it was to have been a bachelor's dinner. I'm a bachelor. Now, if you will entertain for me and bring your husband, he will meet me. And he will meet some of the most eminent men in my profession. Sir Patrick Cullen, Sir Ralph Bloomfield Bonington, Cutler Walpole, and others. I can put the case to them, and your husband will have to stand or fall by what we think of him. Will you come?
Yes, of course I will come. Oh, thank you, thank you. And may I bring some of his drawings, the really good ones?
Yes, I will let you know the date in the course of tomorrow. Leave me your address.
Thank you again and again. You have made me so happy. I know you will admire him and like him. This is my address.
Mrs. Dubedat gives Ridgeon her card.
Thank you.
Ridgeon rings.
May I? Is there? Should I? I mean...
What's the matter?
Your fee for this consultation.
Oh, I forgot that. Shall we say a beautiful drawing of his favorite model for the whole treatment, including the cure?
You are very generous. Thank you. I know you will cure him.
I will.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
They shake hands.
By the way, you know, don't you, that tuberculosis is catching. You take every precaution, I hope.
I'm not likely to forget it. They treat us like lepers at the hotels.
Emmy is at the door.
Well, dearie, have you got round him?
Yes. Attend to the door and hold your tongue.
That's a good boy.
Emmy goes out with Mrs. Dubedat.
Consultation free. Cure guaranteed.